This episode is brought to you by
Laurie's of Bedfordshire. Alex, I don't know what you like, right? Do you like driving lorries?
Sure.
Now, your lorry that you currently have, how strong is it?
It's not many strong
it's
at all.
It's not much strong at that much at all?
Not much at all.
Straight. How would you like a lorry that can take you through a Dalek?
I need that lorry.
You need that lorry.
I need that
Everyone lorry. Needs that lorry.
Everyone.
So today's sponsor comes from the Borough of Falling Lorries from Bedfordshire. I've said all of that wrong, but it's from one of our episodes, and it's probably pronounced differently in England, but we're Australian.
I'm glad they don't care.
They don't, because they're from the 60s. But we have a time machine called TARDIS, and it can go back and get you a lorry. And you're welcome to go back with TARDIS and pick up a lorry for the low, low price of 6 pence.
Wow!
I don't know what the exchange rate's like. I think that's probably about 50,000 Australian dollars.
Dollary dues!
What, 6 pence from the 60s? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. What's it called? Inflation. That thing we're all dealing with. So just go to lorriesofbedfordshire.org and put in the offer code a couple of fools.
Couple of fools? Wow, what a deal!
Do you like that?
What's a lorry?
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to The Fan and the Fool, everyone. I'm The Fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm The Fool, Alex Cameron.
Today's episode is going to be amazing.
I hope so.
What's our first segment?
Is it Doctor Who?
Who?
I don't know yet.
It is.
Oh. So now you're not even letting me guess because it's so obvious.
Can I just say, I feel like this segment might need to rename.
This is Doctor Who.
Who?
Yes.
I also think it's just any kind of nerdy thing that I have.
It is.
Because I do have lots of things.
Yeah.
But I was very proud of this.
Sure.
And it's still in its box. It hasn't seen the light of any days.
Ooh. I can see why I didn't have to guess it.
Yeah, because it's covered in Doctor Who.
Okay, so this is a drama set of the Eighth Doctor and Liv Schenker.
Chenka. Mm-hmm. She's a med tech from the 51st century, I want to say.
And it's that lady who's in all those UK shows all the time. She was in Spooks.
Nicola Walker.
We like her.
Yeah, we do. That's why I buy everything that she's on.
That's not creepy. Let's continue.
It's a figurine set of the Eighth Doctor, Liv Schenker, and a grey Dalek.
Yep.
Because they fought the Daleks together.
In an audio play or on TV?
In an audio play.
Well, she hasn't been on the TV show, has she?
She hasn't been on the TV, but she should be on the TV.
She's probably sick of that.
Yes. I mean, if you've listened to any of these episodes, you'd know that I am a big fan of Liv Schenker.
Mm.
Because just to recap the story of how that character keeps coming back, she was in one episode of an audio play with the Seventh Doctor, and then the world said, don't you let her leave. And yeah. She's been in the audio plays for the rest of time.
And can I say something to explain why that may offend every other person who's ever been on Doctor Who?
Why?
She's an actress.
Whoa.
That's why.
We've got Paul McGann there as well.
I don't know who that is. I know two Doctors.
Can I tell you about his outfit?
Go ahead.
So for those of you listening who are big Doctor Who nerds like me, he is wearing his, like, leather jacket.
Oh, okay.
It's like a, what would you call it? It's got, like a double-breasted buttons going down kind of thing.
He has short hair, okay.
Okay. And he's got his classic sonic screwdriver that looks kind of wooden. And it's got, like, a blue diode light on the end of it.
Right.
Which is not how he looks at all in the television movie. So, this look by Paul McGann was how, like in many interviews with him, is how he kind of wanted the character to look when he was in the movie. So, one day when they were doing the audio plays, because they kept using images from the movie as on the cover of his audio plays.
Right.
One day they were like, how would you, what if you were going to do it now, what would you wear? And he was like, this.
Ooh.
And so they let him wear it from now on.
Right.
The thing is, when we watch the Telly movie, you'll understand why he wouldn't want to wear what he was wearing.
Okay.
I mean, the clothes are fine, but he shaved his hair so he looked he had short hair when he did the audition.
Right.
And they were like, oh no, thank you. So they made him wear a wig.
Oh.
So we will get to that.
In Seven Doctors time.
Yeah. The next segment.
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of
Audio Play. It's lucky that we have this because this is the booklet from the box. Because the cover is the episode that I am reviewing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Old Friends.
Oh.
So it stars Christopher Eccleston.
Who was the ninth?
Ninth Doctor. That's why it's called The Ninth Doctor Adventures.
Consistency, I like that.
Consistency. And he faces the Cybermen in this, and he never faced them on TV. So it's kind of like, ooh, imagine nice. If he did.
Mm-hmm.
And also is a classic character called the Brigadier, who you will come to know and love very soon.
Oh, wow. So he's in a lot of the show.
He's in a lot of the show.
Excellent. Like the monk.
Yes, this actor, the actor who plays him is now passed away.
Right.
But he was even in Doctor Who up until like 2012, I think.
Wow.
Before he passed away. So he's been in Doctor Who, the classic series. He didn't come back to Doctor Who, the new series. He's mentioned a lot, but he actually returned in The Sarah Jane Adventures, which is a spin-off.
Right.
Okay. A children's show, which is amazing.
So he might be one of the oldest, one of the actors who has been in the Doctor Who show over the biggest time span.
He's often referred to as like he and the Doctor have, because he's a brigadier, like he's in the army, and he and the Doctor are friends, but the Doctor's very not about guns.
Right.
But they kind of rub off on each other. So the Doctor and the Brigadier, and eventually the Brigadier kind of goes, well, you know, there's other answers to things rather than violence and, you know.
Right.
Not that he's particularly, like, you know, trigger happy or anything with guns. He's just comes to realize that, you know, diplomacy and there's other ways you can kind of solve problems.
Like whacking people with a cane.
Yeah. Big old cane.
But I get your point.
Yeah. So, in fact, earlier, I reviewed an episode on this podcast called Earthbound.
Yes, I remember.
Where it was a third Doctor Adventure set between two stories.
Wasn't that one of our very first ones you gave a review for?
Yeah, probably. I think so. Mm. Where he'd driven out of an episode, basically, and into this. And then at the end, he goes back to a different episode.
Right.
So, he and the Brigadier had a falling out just before that. So, he's venting about that.
Right.
So it's quite good. Anyway, in this, the Ninth Doctor meets the Brigadier. And I think he's probably in, like, voice or live, one of the Doctors who... One of the oldest Doctors, as in, like, number 9.
Right.
To actually meet the Brigadier. So the Brigadier meets the Doctor when he's in his... When he's the second Doctor... And then again, when he's 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Then 8th, I think he meets him in an auto play. Mm. And then the 9th, he meets him as an auto play. But the 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Haven't seen him. I guess I don't want to recast the actor.
No, but this guy that does the voice for him now, he's quite good. Mm. In fact, I think he also does the voice for the 3rd Doctor sometimes. He's got quite a nice...
Lilt to his voice.
Lilt. Can I preface everything I'm about to say with the following statement?
Yes.
I first started watching Doctor Who when I saw Christopher Eccleston in 2005, and he grabbed Rose's hand and he said run, and I've been running with him ever since.
That might be the most heart-wrenching statement on the show so far. That was poetic.
And I've seen Daleks and Cybermen, and I've seen First the Master, And there's very few episodes that I don't like.
Okay.
Even the episode called 42. Not the greatest episode, but I'll rewatch it. Love and Monsters. Yeah, her face becomes a garden tile. But
there's way too much going on right now. I'm getting a headache just trying to work out what you're saying to me. These must be insane references. You're just dropping bombs, and I'm like, what?
And the bit where he's like, gets really angry with Madame Kavarian, and he tells that general, I want you to be called General Runaway, and the 11th Doctor goes completely mad. I love it. So many ups and downs. The 12th Doctor starts really grumpy, and then he gets nicer, and you're like, oh, look at him, he's just a gentle old man. And then the 13th Doctor, she's just great. And people are like, some people are upset because the Doctor's a woman now, whatever. She's a great actress. Well done.
It's current year, get over it.
And we've been watching the classic ones, and I've loved most of them.
Yes.
Every now and then there's a reign of terror.
Or a few bees.
Or is it the Romans? It's the Romans. The reign of terror was the good one. The Romans was the bad one. And when we watched the first Doctor Who movie, I quite liked it. It was a bit quirky and different. And there was that scene where they all walk out of the forest and we're like, that's big, big budget.
Lovely shots, yeah.
Nice work, everyone. But I feel like this is the most nothing thing I've ever watched.
Wow.
Of Doctor Who. And as in, like, it starts like nothing. And then it continues, like, it just flatlines until there's a bit of action towards the end. And I guess there's some action peppered throughout, but nothing that made me feel... The characters are awful, I feel. Anyway, we're going to get to it. But I'm going to say lots of things that I don't think... If you love this and you watch this in the 60s, good on you.
Welcome to podcasts. It's a new technology.
But this...
Don't forget your Olbran.
But this is like... Like they watched the original four episodes of the Dalek Invasion of Earth. And they went, let's suck like all the character development out of it. And just have Daleks. And I guess that makes sense because the episode we're looking at doesn't even mention Doctor Who. It's just called Daleks Invasion Earth 2150 AD.
The movie.
And there's no the Daleks Invasion of Earth.
Nope.
It's just Daleks Invasion Earth.
As if they're a man on a mission and the mission is called Invasion Earth.
Yeah. So can we... Let's go through the character, like last time.
Yes.
Can we go through the characters?
Absolutely.
So, I think we should just... We'll start with the returning cast, which is
two of them.
Okay, so... Doctor Who, played by Peter Cushing.
Yes.
I think in the moments where he's got some good lines, like there's that moment where he escapes from the prison and the Daleks are right there and he's like... Do we go back in? And they're like, no. Like, that's a good moment.
Yes.
So he's got good... He's a good actor. I mean, he's Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars.
He did what he could with the role.
Yeah. They're like, remember what we did last time? And he was like, yes. And he was like, here's a worse script. Try again.
That's right. What do you think we're paying you for? Make this thing good.
I did like the fact that he had a little blue scarf for a while there, and he does put his gloves on a lot, particularly when they're about to get into like action. He's like, I must put my gloves on. Susie.
Actually, she's referred by both, by different people.
So Susie, played by Roberta Tovey,
who I think is actually, and I know this is going to sound odd because not a lot goes on, one of the best actors/actresses in the film.
Yeah, in fact, I'm just going to click on her name. I'm going to see what she did after this. She later appeared as Samantha in the 1987 TV series My Husband and I, and was interviewed for the documentaries 30 Years in the TARDIS and Dalek Mania. She also sang the single Who's Who to cash in on the popularity of the first Dalek movie.
What?
So when she was a kid, she would have sung that. Can I look up that song? Now, while I've searched this up, Tom Campbell.
Now, while Matt is looking for his new favorite hit single, I found it interesting because Ian and Barbara, neither of the actors or characters come back. We instead have Louise and Tom.
Yes. I think I might look up, well, at some point, maybe at the end.
Right.
And see if something happened to them in the expanded universe of this.
Yes, because this is supposed to be fiction inside the world of Doctor Who.
Yes. And it's got its own timeline.
Right.
So I was thinking maybe Barbara and Ian are together.
And they've already left.
And they've left.
Yeah.
But Tom Campbell is our new, like...
hero.
Now, the thing that confuses me about Tom, first of all, before I, like, talk about the character, he is played by the magnificent Bernard Cribbins, who we will see again.
Okay.
He's in regular Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
So, and a fantastic... he must be
one of the only ones.
Fantastic actor.
Right.
Not fantastic in this so much. I mean, he's kind of fine in this.
I think he's fine.
But I think the character... who is a policeman who stumbles into the TARDIS.
Yeah.
And is basically just goes, oh, yeah. And then just rolls with it. And then Daleks, you know, like, there's... he's not just, he's gone from 1965 to 2130. What are we 50. In? 2150.
Excuse me, this is Daleks Invasion Earth 2150 AD, the sequel movie.
AD, exactly. So, 2150... and he just, it doesn't even, like, phase him. Like, I think he's a bit like, how can today be Sunday? It's like, mate, you've just traveled forward in time. Like, that was a big 50 question. Years.
You know what he never asked? What's a Dalek?
No, he just saw them happen. He saw that one come out of the water.
Yeah.
And then was like, oh, this is trouble. And then suddenly he's also like, we've got to get the girls. Oh, the girls you just met that you probably don't... like, they don't even know you. You know what I mean?
You're the hero.
They've been asking, where's our grandpa?
Question, by the way.
Or uncle, I guess.
How? Yeah, I don't know. Well, is Louise his related to him, or is she just one of the travelers he's picked up?
And calls her niece. He called her his niece.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I forgot that.
At the start, he goes, this is my niece Louise, and this is my granddaughter Susan. In fact, let me click on her.
Can I just say while you're doing that? They filmed the Dalek coming out of the water in the same shot and in the same way as it happens in the TV show. How did they make it less terrifying? How did they do that? It's such a cool shot in the show. And in the movie, it's just like, oh, it's like it's surfing onto the beach. It's not scary at all.
And there's a moment there where it's like, take them to their ship. And the rubber men take the Doctor and Ian.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting in the water, and you can just see the waves rocking it from side to side.
Which I don't think you see as clearly in the show.
No.
They somehow made it worse. Tell us about Louise.
Oh my gosh. Can I tell you about Barbara? Because I just looked up Barbara to see what happened after she left the movie.
In the fiction of Doctor
Who. In the fiction of Doctor Who.
Go ahead.
So, she accompanied Doctor Who on his trip to Skaro in TARDIS. Just says that. Which her grandfather had invented. During her travels, she met the Daleks and then an ancient Roman legion. Ancient Roman legion in 64 AD. So that's the bit at the end of the movie. Yeah,
right at the end.
They, so her and Ian, and the Doctor, Doctor Who, they subsequently travelled to Old Dark Moor and met Count Tarkin. You know Tarkin, like Star Wars? The same character that Peter Cushing plays in Star Wars.
What?
But Barbara was absent during two of Doctor Who and Susan's subsequent adventures, as was Ian, whom Susan believed she eventually stopped seeing, though she had not actually gotten over him. Partway through, the scriptwriters typing the script of the third Doctor Who film would have featured Barbara and rekindling her relationship with an increasingly, literally clownish Ian.
Oh no.
Susan realized that she and her family were fictional constructs. So this is where they start to...
Wait, so in the third movie, they realize that
a movie in the world of Doctor Who. Are you serious?
She reached out into the real world and killed the scriptwriter by staking him through the heart, putting an end to the franchise and freeing herself from fictionality. There you go.
Are you making that up?
No, it's in there, but it's under not valid.
But is that what the third movie was going to be? Man, I wish they'd made that.
I think this is just a funny thing. Oh,
okay.
Man. Doctor Who 3, the third motion picture, was one of three prose stories in the Doctor Who fun book, being written as a paradoxical, like parody.
Oh, parody.
Parody. Within the fictional framing device of a long-lost script for the third Dalek movie.
Oh, okay. Because can I just say, if that was the actual third movie, that would have been amazing.
No, so a lot of this stuff on the TARDIS wiki, when you look up this universe stuff, it's often got the tag not valid.
Right.
It's not canonical.
Yep.
So she didn't really stab the script right in the heart. Now, do you want to hear this song or not?
Do it.
That's enough of that.
Wow.
Not bad.
No, I'm just surprised that... Has she not done anything else in film and television?
She did two movies and a song. No, she did some television, remember?
Oh, yeah, sorry. But then it stopped and she came back for the documentary. Did she not want to continue on acting, I guess? Maybe not.
Maybe she did some other minor roles, but there's plenty of people who act as kids, you know, continue acting.
Yeah.
All right, so who have we done? We've done Doctor Who, Susan, Tom.
We've briefly spoken about Louise.
Did you have any thoughts on Tom? I think I spoke.
I think I liked him better than Ian.
Yes.
He was a lot more helpful than Ian was. I thought he was fine. I did find it weird that he was kind of serious through most of the show. And then at the end, when he rectifies robbers who at the beginning of the film trick him and drive away, he gets brought back in time so he can stop the robbers and basically knock them out and drive away. He goes from being the serious hero to going...
I have some thoughts about that.
Like the Joker as he drives away.
I have some thoughts about that because I think he also was contemplating not getting out of the TARDIS. There was a bit there where he's like, I guess I'm going back out there. And they're like, see you later.
Yes. Goodbye.
So they're kind of... They're the main group of four.
Mm-hmm.
So let's... I just thought there's a couple of characters who return from the series. I mean, there's a few that do, but the big ones.
Right.
So in the TV show, like, we have David Campbell. In this, we have Tom Campbell, who's a police officer.
Right.
But we still have David, the character. Now, do you remember him?
Yes, I do. He's the one in the show who kindles some sort of relationship with Susan.
Yes.
And who gets left on Earth with Susan when the Doctor says his big speech about, you know...
And he's like, one day I'll come back.
Bye. Oh, by the way, I died. Bye.
He's not dead.
Well, what do you call it?
Regenerated.
Regenerate. I was going to say transformed, like he's a Pokemon or something.
He's evolved.
He's evolved. Well, I guess maybe.
But in this... Can you remember him in this?
Is he the one that's with Susie? Is that David?
No, that's not David.
Is he the guy in the wheelchair?
No, that's...
Oh, he's the one that was helping Doctor Who.
Yes.
And I called him that because that's what they call him in the movie. I know he's not... He's supposed to be called the Doctor, but in the movie he's Doctor Who. No,
in the movie he is Doctor Who. I'll give you that.
And even in the subtitles, it's not the full word Doctor, it's Dr. Dot Who.
The guy in the wheelchair is Dortmund, who is another returning character.
Yep.
And he still makes his famous bomb that doesn't work.
Yes.
But his death in this is much more pointless than his death in the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
So we should talk about that as well.
We will. How do they make key scenes worse for a film?
I don't know. But then we got other characters like Wyler and Craddock and Old Woman and Young Woman.
I do remember Wyler is from the original too, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. So Wyler is the old man with Susan.
Right.
And then there's some others, a lot of other like minor resistance characters. So yes, should we start our story?
Let's start our story.
Police constable? Police officer. PC. PC, that's what they call them in the land of Britain.
That old mysterious land.
PC Tom Campbell.
Yes.
He's out at night being a police officer. Walking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's looking at like a travel agency. Like he's seen some holiday destinations.
Yeah, but to be honest, I think he got distracted because he was perving on the woman in the ad.
I thought that.
Because they zoomed in on her.
The way the camera moves.
It zooms in on her face and then it starts to slowly pan down. You're like, excuse me.
And you're like, yeah.
And then there's brochures. Yeah, kids are watching this.
And then the guy comes in. There's a guy who exits a car and just immediately attacks him. And at first I was like, what's going on? And then suddenly the bank explodes.
Yes.
And they've robbed the bank.
And he's the getaway driver.
And he's the getaway driver. And because Tom's been hit on the head, he's on the ground. And he gets up and chases after them.
While blowing a whistle.
While blowing his whistle. But that's what they had back then in the 60s. I know. They had the police whistle to call for help.
And he threw his baton at the car. It looked funny.
Yeah, that didn't help though, did it?
No, they were saying Channel Ian from the first movie.
And then they're like, now, character development within a second. So he's like, I'm going to go to a police telephone box because they exist in the 60s.
Mm.
And I'm going to call for backup. And so he steps into the police box, which, by the way, that's not secure. I know Doctor Who's like, he must have entered when I demagnetized the door. Why is the door demagnetized?
Yeah, you weren't going anywhere.
No. So he walks in, and I'll say this. I like how in this one, when they open the door, like, that's the door. You know how in the TV show, when they open the door, it's the big, like, wide open doors as they walk into the TARDIS? I like this, how it's still like that door when he walks in.
Yeah.
And he walks in, and they're all just like, oh, there's a guy in that's entered our TARDIS. So Tom faints immediately as he enters TARDIS, it says.
Yes, that's right.
So there is no that in the TARDIS. It's just called TARDIS again. And so he faints probably because he's been hit on the head, and also he's entered a space that's much bigger on the inside. And Doctor Who scans outside and sees that there's robbers. And he's like, oh, we better
skedaddle.
Or he locks the door, I think.
Hmm.
And then someone seeing the robbers run away, and they're like, I'll go to that police box and get help. And they go to grab the door, and the TARDIS disappears.
Yeah.
And he falls on the ground, and he looks straight at the camera, and he's like, oh, what's going on?
And I was like, what?
Break that fourth wall.
And can I just say, that's the only time that happens in the whole film.
Yeah.
You think that's going to be a recurring thing. Because why would you do it once for no reason with a character that doesn't matter?
I just would have loved it if it changed angles. And he was just looking at someone. They're like, what are you doing?
That would have been much better. What are you looking at, you freak?
When Tom awakes, he is introduced to Doctor Who, Louise, and Susan.
As are we. We don't know who the hell these people are. Who's Louise?
Yeah, that's right. So Doctor Who does introduce Susan as his granddaughter, and Louise as his niece.
Yes.
Now, last time, he had both granddaughters.
That's true. I forgot. I thought it was his daughter and granddaughter, but it wasn't.
Granddaughter Barbara and granddaughter Susan. Yeah. And Barbara's not here right now. She's probably off with Ian.
Please leave a message and she'll get back to you.
That's right. And he's got Louise. So, where's Louise? Like, where's Louise's parents? Like,
is this just a thing he does with all his family now?
Maybe they're all just randos. And he just calls them family members.
Well, that's the suggestion in the show, isn't it? About Susan. Or was that my theory?
Oh, in the TV show?
Yeah.
In the real thing?
In the real thing. But not in the fictionalized world within the fictionalized world.
I think it's always... It's never fully confirmed.
Okay.
But because of a lot of what she says and he says, I think they are related.
Okay.
Somehow. But you never really find out about her parents. It's probably in like a novel or something, but that's not... I don't think that's canonical or anything.
But this is his niece now.
This is his niece, and we haven't seen a Louise in the TV show. So Tom's like, get me, like, I'm going to go report this crime that I've just seen. And they are so casual about the fact they're like, you can't, it's 2150. It's 2150, idiot. It's just like, it's just, they're not like, brace yourself or anything. And also, why are they there?
That's what I wanted to ask you, because the doctor said, we're in 2150 now, as if that was the plan.
Yeah.
But why?
And then they took him, because spoiler alert, they just take him home at the end.
Yeah, so therefore in this telling of the story, within the fictional story, he can't control the TARDIS completely.
Yeah, so he was like, we're going to 2150, this place is horrible, we'll just go back to the 60s.
And 2 minutes before.
Yeah, that's not possible, by the way. We're going to have some issues there. He exits TARDIS to find himself in London.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is confused. So this is a bit where he says, you know, it's all deserted. And is it Susan? One of them says, maybe it's a Sunday.
Right.
And he's like, it's not a Sunday. I'd be playing football. And everyone's like, in 2150? Like... I understand he's confused because he's suddenly 50 years in the future. He's been kidnapped, basically, because a man who can control where he's going has decided to take him well into the future.
Right.
But, you know, obviously something's crazy is happening and it doesn't matter that you would play football on a Sunday. Doctor Who and Tom go off to find something to help. Like, they want to get rid of the stuff that's... Because... What happens next is the same thing that happened in the show.
Exact same.
So they didn't park under a bridge like they did in the show. They parked near the river and some debris falls on the TARDIS and they can't get back in. And Susie hurts her ankle.
Same as in the show.
Now, at first I wrote, injured ankle, why not try some water?
Yes.
And at first I didn't think that was going to happen.
The bathing of the ankles.
But then what happened? It did happen.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I guess people did think that was a thing.
Yeah, it wasn't just some random thing in one episode of Doctor Who. People bathed their ankles when they sprained them.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to put ice on it? I suppose if you don't have access to ice, maybe the water's cold?
Yeah, I guess that can be the only explanation, right?
Yeah.
You know what else there wasn't, though? You know what was missing from the TV show?
No.
Any mention of smacked bottoms.
Yes.
I was waiting for it. Well,
this doctor doesn't, you know, he's not about smacking them bottoms. He's about smacking Daleks down a hole.
Pretty much. So... He's just there for business, whereas our other dude is like... Because in the TV show, right... He gets angry with Susan about hurting her ankle, which is hilarious on its own. Like, yeah. It's not like it's her fault and she did it on purpose.
Yeah.
But his way of telling her he's upset is saying the Shrek line of to Donkey, you're going the right way for a smack bottom.
Yeah.
He's not angry now. He doesn't mention smacking bottoms.
He's just a nicer dude.
He's a nicer doctor.
And I think the other thing is in the TV show, there's a like a character arc there. So she starts off with him still thinking she's a silly child. And by the end of it, he's like, you've grown up and you need, you know, your place is with this man you've just met who's considerably older than you. You know, not considerably older, I should say, but
he's... Not in the 60s, anyway.
He's a bit older. Whereas in this, she doesn't really have any character development. She's good. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
But, and she's a good character. And if this was one episode in a series, you'd be like, okay, this is just an adventure they're having. But in this, you know, she doesn't really have that character development for good reason.
Yeah, she's 9. And David is 74? Just a guess.
I think he's like, I want to say late 20s.
Oh, I'm thinking of Wyler.
Oh, yeah. That mummy's out of him, yeah.
That old dude.
So she's getting her ankle bathed. The doctor and David... the doctor and Tom, they go do a bit of exploring. Now, this is the other bit where I couldn't understand Tom.
Okay.
Because he's just rolling with it.
I've also got questions for you as well, but what's your... Yeah.
So they go into the, like, a storage room, and they see a foot behind some boxes.
Yeah.
And Tom holds up the crowbar to be like, you know, if danger happens, I'm going to go, I've got this.
It's on.
He's in 2150. What's he going to do? Just assault a person? Maybe that's just a random person. Yes. You're inside someone else's place.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like someone's broken into your home.
This is even your Earth.
Yeah, that's right. You're well into the future. And look, I understand they move the boxes and it's shock horror. It's a Robo-Man. And he looked, you know, he's...
That was not a great ad for us, by the way. We did very badly. We have to pay them back.
That's right. Well, these ones look better.
They look much better.
They do. The jet black clothing is a bit much.
I'm glad you brought up about the crowbar, because mm-hmm. Here's my question for you. The reason why Doctor Who and Tom go into the
room
is because they're looking for a crowbar to get the stuff off TARDIS.
Poor TARDIS.
Poor TARDIS, yeah.
By the way, the inside of TARDIS looked a bit better. It looked a little bit less crazy.
Much better. Much more... It wasn't exactly like the TV show, but it kind of looked more that way.
Yeah, and they'd obviously realized that control that pushes down on the button, not a good idea.
Terrible idea.
Mm.
But they go in there.
Mm-hmm. Looking for a crowbar.
Next scene. They see a foot and he's holding a crowbar.
Yeah,
There's no exploring looking for it. They went in there looking for a crowbar. Next minute, he's holding it.
I think what should happen is they'd found their crowbar, right? And so if they think there's someone there,
yes.
What's the point of going after them? Why not just leave?
You've got the crowbar. With
the thing you wanted.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was weird.
I just feel like, did they leave out a scene where they found it? Or were we supposed to be so dumb we didn't realize?
I think it's because it's a... What is it? In the TV show, it's 4 episodes?
Yes.
So that's, I don't know...
80 minutes?
Yeah.
Maybe 90 minutes?
Yeah, maybe 90 minutes.
Which is how long the movie is. How is the TV show more nuanced? It has the same running time. 4 episodes, about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There's character development.
Yeah.
There's more characters.
Yeah.
How?
Well, look.
Explain yourself.
Movies are difficult, aren't they? Especially when the movie's called Daleks Invasion Earth, right? So I think the thing is, this is just more focused on showing Daleks. Showing Daleks just moving around. Sometimes one Dalek says something to another Dalek, and then it moves away really slowly to say something to a different Dalek.
They also... Inside of the base, right, their headquarters, they've got perilously thin walkways.
Yeah.
That they all fly around.
They don't need them to be any wider.
Yeah, but there's an actor inside there, right?
Yeah.
How do they know where they're going?
It's you mean out of the narrative? Oh, yeah, difficult.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying, yeah, for the person who's in there trying to navigate it, they're barely on the pathways that they're running around.
Yeah. Back at TARDIS...
Meanwhile, let's not forget, there's even more insane music than last time, all throughout.
Mm.
Bits of jazz mixed with bits of, I guess if you had a music folder, it'd be called Other.
I'd call it
nuts.
Annoying music.
It's annoying.
Because the Robo-Men have their own theme all the time.
See, I didn't even realise it was meant to be a theme. I thought it was just sound.
Yeah, but every time they move,
oh,
or
yes,
march, or they appear...
Da-da-da!
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da!
Unnecessary. I put awful music. I wrote it several times throughout this.
But it was filmed in Technicolor like last time. And actually, ooh, very nice. It was photographed in Technoscope.
Oh, I don't know that's a thing.
That's what it said at the start as well.
Well, now the more you know, you know? Damn, we're so early in this.
Don't worry, it picks up pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then
we did a lot of establishing shots and explanations of character, which the movie did not do.
No, it just kind of threw you in there. In fact, I was trying to remember Dortmund's name, and they say it once after he's dead, I think.
Yes.
So I think you really need to have watched the episodes to know who is.
I think they're assuming people have.
Yeah, maybe, but come on, guys.
It's pretty sus.
Who's Louise? She's on the TV show.
I will tell you one thing that I thought looked great in the show, in the movie. It's the spaceship.
Oh, the spaceship.
The UFO looks amazing. Did you think
that? It
does
look good, yeah. Yeah.
The way it had different parts of it spinning, and it literally looked like it was flying over the sky.
Yeah.
I thought that looked excellent.
It did look good.
You don't seem as convinced
as
I.
No, I wasn't as... Well, I like the design in the other one.
Oh, the design! I get the design choices.
The better saucer. This looked a bit like a space buggy.
Well, yeah, it actually looked more. It looked like what every movie ever thinks a UFO is. It was not. There was nothing about it that made you think this is a Daleks traveling machine.
Doctor Who and Tom go back to the women, but discover them gone because at this time Susan was taken by one of these, by someone,
a rebel. Well, sorry, by someone. Let's not spoil it.
By someone. And whatever her name is, Louise.
Louise.
She was like...
You should care about Louise.
Susan, where's Susan? Yeah, because she's Barbara. She's just Barbara. But they obviously couldn't get that actress back. So they just went with Louise.
And on a purely superficial level, she's not Barbara.
Where is Barbara? Bring her back.
Bring Barbara back.
But she's calling out for Susan and then a stranger covers her mouth and is like, shh. And then takes her away. Because he's like, you're going to die if you're left here.
There are Daleks everywhere. Well, there's Robo-Men everywhere.
There's Robo-Men everywhere.
They're searching.
So they don't know. We haven't seen the Daleks yet. But the Doctor Who and Tom appear back next to TARDIS.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of wandering about looking for Susan and Louise. And is it David at this point? Shouts out to them. He's like, look behind you. And there's two Robo-Men, you know, coming to get Doctor Who and Tom.
Yeah.
And so Doctor Who and Tom run towards the river.
Yep.
And out of the river comes a Dalek.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, it looked pretty awful.
Compared to the TV show, absolutely.
Yeah, the TV show one looked much better. Maybe this is also the black and white thing again.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Might have looked scarier because it's coming out slowly out of the water in black and white.
But I also thought it was completely submerged and then rose up. Whereas this one looked like it literally...
Had its head above the water.
Yeah, it was body surfing onto the beach as if he'd just been out for a day swimming.
Hey, guys.
Check this. Cool. Wave. Also, they were very blue. I don't remember them being so blue in the movie.
In the movie,
I know there were lots of colors, but the main Daleks who don't have any kind of, you know, authority, I guess, have a lot of blue dots on
them. Yeah, and then there's one gold one who I guess is the one in charge,
right?
And there's a red one who also very seems red. Good in charge. Good in charge.
Good in charge.
So they get captured, and. They go off with Daleks. In the underground hideout, Susan and Louise are introduced to the leader of the underground rebels, Dortmund. Again, they don't mention his name there.
No, I don't think they do.
But he seems pretty pleased. Like, he's rolling about being like, we'll get them.
Yeah.
We're not going to It's like, surrender to tin teapots, no way, or something.
Dustbins.
Dustbins is what he says, yes. He's like, I can defeat these Daleks. So he explains to them how the Dalek, like the methods that Daleks use to attack them, like meteorites, cosmic rays.
Right.
And he's like, but we've got these bombs, so we'll be right.
And they look like miniature. I thought he was making miniature Daleks for them to have like a battle plan on a table where he could position where they're going to be.
No, that's the bomb.
But that was the bombs.
David returns to the Underground Network and tells the girls, because that's how they referred to doing this.
Oh, geez.
The girls.
It is the 60s.
Dortmund suggests dressing as Robo-Men. Now, he doesn't suggest that.
Yes, good point.
So, he's talking to Wyler and David. And he's like, we've got these bombs. And Wyler's like, you can't, how are you going to get the bomb close to a Dalek? First of all, you throw them. Like, that's what a bomb is, right? So, but David's like, pulls out a Robo helmet. Because, we'll see it on the table, I think, and he grabs it.
Right.
And then they all just kind of look at each other and then start laughing.
Yeah.
No one explained what they were going to do. They all had the same thought, apparently.
Yeah.
And then decided on that.
I think it's another time where if you haven't seen the television show, you don't know what any of that is supposed to mean.
Are they going to take motorbikes there? Because it's a bike helmet.
That's true. The one that covers your eyes.
Yeah.
But also, that strategy of let's be a Robo-Man to get close to them, it works with taking the prisoners onto the ship to get to the ship. It doesn't help a single person with the throwing of the bombs.
No.
He literally is in a wheelchair and just wheels up to them and does it.
Well, they do use his bombs, though.
Yeah.
But he doesn't go because he's in a wheelchair.
Right.
David dresses a Robo-Man.
Yes.
Takes the group from their base into the Dalek saucer.
Right.
And the Dalek's like, where are these people from? You remember that bit?
Yes.
And he says... He's like, section four.
Number four?
He's like, pick a number. Four. And then the Dalek's like, there's not anything there. And he's like, how about this? And he just grabs it and then rolls it down the ramp. And it just hits the ground. And then he throws one of the bombs at it.
Right.
So Dortmund is left at the bunker with Susie.
Yep.
And Louise is with the group that went onto the saucer.
Right.
I love it, just like, yes.
But you know what's weird is... Why did they change? Because in the show, it's Barbara, obviously not Louise.
Yeah.
And she stays because she's the one who later drives the truck.
Yeah, because I think a man should drive the truck.
Oh. I forgot we're in the 60s.
Sorry. I think that...
I think that must be what it was.
No, that's not. I think what happened was in this TV story, Susan's with the doctor.
Yes.
And he gets knocked out or something because William Hartnell went on holidays for a week.
That's true.
And David's with Susan. And they decide to head to their hideout or whatever. Or further north. Whatever. They go away. And Barbara is with the group of resistance fighters on her own with Negative Nelly. Remember her?
Yes.
And Dortmund. Yes. And so... She's there, and so they're at separate places. Whereas this time, both Susan and Barbara, who is Louise,
yeah,
they're there together at the bunker.
Right.
So Louise decides to help with the fight there, and Susie, who is a child, probably shouldn't go to a Dalek
spaceship. So it does make sense.
No, well... I explained it.
No, but I mean, but your explanation of why they might have done it makes sense.
Yeah.
But the TV show was so much better because it wasn't just Doctor Who or Ian doing everything.
And also, just to come back to like Barbara and like character development.
Yeah.
Those episodes are really good because she has a moment, because I remember, where she realizes everyone else might be gone.
Yeah.
Because the Doctor's gone. Who knows where Susan is, and Ian's like this, like she doesn't know where the other three are. And this woman's like, we've got a resistance base up there. And she's like, I guess I'm fighting Daleks. Like, you know, there's a real moment where she's just like, this is what I guess this is what I'll do.
Yep.
And there's none of that development here, you know? And Louise, you know, she gets on that. She's just one of the people on that thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they push the Dalek down the ramp and it explodes. And then everything kind of goes nuts for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone's running about. The Daleks are trying to kill them. They're trying out the bomb on some of them. They're pushing them down, like... they shoved one up against a wall, basically.
Yeah.
And David frees Doctor Who and Tom just before they become Robo-Men. Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, Doctor Who and Tom, they escaped their prison cell by breaking the magnetic thing.
Yeah.
And the Daleks were like, well done, you're so clever. Clever enough to be Robo-Men. Now, you know the all black thing they're wearing?
Yeah.
So they weren't Robo-Men yet.
Right.
So did the Daleks just make them put that on? I just thought that was weird. Like, sure, you would get them under the spell.
Yes.
And then you would be like, put this on.
Because it'll be easier.
Yeah. Because if you were captive, you might be like, I'm not putting that on. They might be like, well, we'll exterminate you. And you'd be like, well, go ahead. You'll have one less worker. Yeah. Stalemate.
I gotcha. Checkmate. Also, the intelligence test to get out of the room in the show was an actual test.
No, this is a test.
No. In the show, they had a box on a table and it was like a puzzle to solve.
Yes.
In the movie, he puts a comb under the door to make it open.
Also, he said, can I have something non-conductive, like a comb?
Yeah.
But heaps of things are non-conductive. He could have stuck the edge of his scarf under there.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have put one of his gloves under there. He could have, he has his jacket on. He could have just shoved... There's so many... That's not a puzzle.
No. So not like in the show where they're genuinely like, wow, this is a smart dude. It was like they were like, we need to cut out this whole puzzle. So they shove a comb under the door and the Daleks...
Watch the episode and they're like, this takes too long.
Yes. They shove the thing under the door and the Daleks just run up to them. Wow, so smart. We need you.
But I still like the banter. But he's like, we just go back in. And they're like, no. You're coming with us now.
It's all over.
So they escape. But Craddock, who is the third one, there was three of the Robo-Men there.
Yes.
Three, like Doctor Who, Tom, Craddock.
Yeah.
They left Craddock there.
Because he looks like he's gone.
Yeah. He's Robo'd.
Even though all three of them were put him at the same time.
Yeah, but you know. Back at the underground station.
Oh, okay. We're just going to skim over that.
So, Susan and Dortmund, they're the only ones left back at base. And so, they're waiting. And what they don't know is the Daleks have, you know, they've gotten rid of most of the resistance people. They've kind of crowded them at the outside the saucer. And we have another one of the great scenes from the TV show where one of them goes... I'm going to just run off. I'm just going to run off and escape.
Yeah.
And the Dalek's like, no way. So I think this is the first time they properly shoot their fire extinguisher things.
Yes.
And I thought those fire extinguisher things, because they say exterminate.
Yeah.
I was like, they probably sound more terrifying if you think of that as like insect spray for humans.
True.
So I was like, actually, that is terrifying.
Much more, because the last movie, it seemed like it really was just smoke, but this seems more like some sort of a weird spray.
Yeah, and when he falls off, because this guy runs away, he climbs up onto a roof, and they hit him, and he falls, and he lands on some foam bricks.
Very obvious.
Yeah, they're very obviously foam bricks. And they surround him, and he's like, ah, and they all shoot him and they just cover him in smoke. Like, that's the same as, like, if you had a cockroach and you just sprayed it continuously with, you know, that Mortine. Tom stays in the saucer. Susan and Dorman are back at the underground station. So a badly injured Wyler returns. There you go. He says there have, most of the men have been killed or captured.
Yeah.
So Dortmund's like, so in the TV show, Dortmund has a bit of a like existential crisis because he's like, oh, my bombs don't work.
Yeah.
I got all these people killed. I'm a man in a wheelchair and I can't help it. Like, he has that whole, that all happens to him then.
Yes.
But in this, he's a bit more like, well, we'll just go to the country.
Yeah. And the bombs do work. Don't question it again.
Yeah. Well, Wyler was like, they didn't really work. And he's like, yeah, they do. I wasn't there and I didn't see them work, but I know they do.
Of course they work.
And
that's what I mean by there's such a lack of nuance in the movie.
Because they could, for some reason, go at fast forward. You know, like they're just plowing through
the
story. And they're just like, you've seen this before. Let's get back to some Dalek shooting, you know? So they go to leave, but they go find a truck to leave the town out of. And so this is similar to in the TV show where Barbara and the negative, I can't remember her name.
We call her Negative Nancy.
Negative Nancy. They got a lorry to start. But in this, Dortmund opens the doors to the garage and sees a Dalek. A Dalek, mind you, who is not facing him.
And
he's facing away, like, and moving away.
And far away.
Yeah.
They're not, like, just at the door. He's, like, way down the street.
Yeah, so Dortmund rolls out after him, has the bombs, and Wyler runs out and is like, yells out, Dortmund, like, he's like, don't go out there. And which seems to get the attention of the Dalek. Or at least times that when Wyler calls out, the Dalek has turned and starts.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. He's turned around because he is yelling or whatever.
Yeah. And then suddenly there's four Daleks versus Dortmund.
Yeah.
And he throws a bomb. And I think it does kind of work on one of them.
Yeah.
But he throws a second one and they, you know, they power up to get ready. They're shooting their smoke or whatever. And he throws the bombs up at the building.
A whole bag.
And it blows up and collapses on him.
Yep.
And you don't see it collapse on the Daleks.
No.
I think it blocks their path at least. Yeah,
that's what I guessed was supposed to be
the but point. In the TV show, he goes out there to the Daleks to kind of lead them away from Barbara and Negative Nancy.
Yep.
So that they don't go into the museum and find them. But in this, he could have just gone in the lorry and they could have just escaped.
Yeah, it would make no difference.
And we see when the lorry eventually does escape, they just drive through some Daleks.
Yeah. And it's funny because...
Yeah, it is funny.
Well, it's obviously the same scene as Barbara doing it, and they've tried to make it cool by having explosions happen, which makes no sense, because all it does is bump into them, and suddenly they're exploding.
Yeah.
So again, key scene from the show looks worse in the movie.
So, Doctor Who and David, they return to the bunker to find it empty.
Yeah.
And they're like, where'd they go? Now, Susie had written a note to tell the Doctor where they had gone.
Yeah.
On the inside of the door. So, it's there. Like, we can see it clearly as a viewer. But the Doctor decides he's going to go to the mines. Because I don't know when he figured it out. Or when someone told him. But the Daleks are mining, just like they are in the TV show.
Right.
And so, he's like, well, we'll go there. And so, he just leaves with David to head that in that direction, but misses the note. And now he says out loud, "It's weird that Susie didn't leave me a note." Now, if you think that's weird, wouldn't you go just look for any sign of a note just to be sure?
But see, that's the comedic value in the movie.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Do you remember Louise and Tom?
I know them vaguely.
So they're in the Dalek saucer.
Right.
Because Tom was left there even though he got rescued.
Oh, yes. I know where you're going with
and
this.
And Louise, she was in a closet.
Yeah.
And when Susie... See, there's so much happening and no character development.
You know what's funny? There's so much happening, but nothing's happening.
I know. That's why at the start, this is the most nothing thing.
This is like if Fast and the Furious was a 60s sci-fi show. You just sit there mindlessly for 2 hours going,
it is the Fast and Furious of the Doctor Who series. Too fast. No Daleks, please.
Oh no. Oh no. That was so bad. That does sound like something written by Vin Diesel. Let's make a movie. I look like a gingerbread man.
Does he?
Oh, he's just bald and no features. He just looks like a cookie man. A muscly one. I'll give him that.
The doctor.
He looks quite strong, but I don't know what he's trying to express at any point in his whole life.
All right, so like we were saying,
a baby with muscles.
Like we were saying, there's a lot of things that are happening, but nothing's really happening.
Yeah.
So Susie and Wyler have driven off. Louise and Tom are in the Dalek saucer, which takes off.
Yes.
And the Doctor Who and David are on their way to the mines.
Yes.
All to now, Susie left a note telling them that they were going to head to Watford?
Yeah, something like that.
And then she decides he's probably going to go to the mines, so we'll go there.
How does she know?
I don't know.
Because when we were physically watching the movie, you said, how would she know?
Yeah, or no, I said, if she thought that, why didn't she just write that on the note?
Yeah.
We'll see you at the mines.
Yeah.
So anyway, the saucer takes off, and so Tom and Louise have found each other on the spaceship, and they're like, oh, it's flying, so we'll just hide. So they hide. But in the comedy of them finding each other, they're in the... Oh, see, there's so much that we're missing. So they found each other... And they near the food section.
Food delivery system type conveyor belt thing.
Yeah, because Tom was there pretending to be a Robo-Man.
And trying to fit in with the other Robo-Man.
Which is one of the worst sequences. So, Tom puts on the black... Like, he has that black outfit because he was being turned into a Robo-Man. And he finds a Robo-Man helmet from a Robo-Man that's being killed.
Yeah.
And he puts it on. And he kind of pushes his way into a group of Robo-Men to pretend he's one of them. And he follows them to, I guess, what would you call it? Like the eating quarters, like the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Kind of. And there's just, I reckon it wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't for the music, which was so loud and awful.
The famous Robo-Man theme.
Theme, which just plays whenever they move.
Because the whole point is they're moving robotically while marching around in circles to get the food, sit back down. And he's trying to... The comedy is he's following them around. But it's just peppered with, as you said...
Basically.
To make you go, a sensible chuckle.
And every now and then you're like... Is that Roy Castle?
That's right. That scene must have been 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was so long.
That's like, what they gave up the character development for, was for those moments.
Yes. It's not good.
Oh, it's so bad.
And then...
Why did you have to remind me of that?
And then he finds Louise. Yep. And then there's a big thing where they break the food machine and food just keeps coming out. But that does help them discover the garbage chute.
Yes.
So they're like, remember that for later.
Yeah.
So the Daleks, they're following Susie and...
Wyler. In the truck. Well, they're in the spaceship following them along the coast. Yeah.
And then they get out of the truck, Susie and Wyler. And Wyler, like, protects Susie when the spaceship shoots a laser and blows up their car. That was quite good.
And that is the same as the show. I'm pretty sure.
Then they blow up the lorry.
There's a moment where they both have to run out of there because they're being chased. It's the same scene. I think it actually looks good in the movie.
It does look good.
Yeah, this is one of the shots they got right. And you know why? Because it's the UFO.
The UFO does look good, and it looks good later too.
Yeah.
And then they have to continue on foot.
Yeah.
The classic pairing. Two characters that don't know each other.
Susie and Wyler.
Yeah. I know I'm sighing a lot. But it's because I'm reading this and I just don't want to read it out.
Well, you're trying to work out how much of this has enough value to even talk about.
That's right.
That's what's so bad about
it. I skipped ahead again. So, because Doctor Who, where was he last? He was with David heading towards the mines.
Yes.
So the UFO lands at the mines.
Yep.
And Tom and Louise use the garbage chute to just appear on the ground, which I guess that means wherever the Daleks have landed, they've just put their garbage straight out into the ground wherever they are.
Yeah.
And they sneak into
the base. A
mining base of some kind.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who's clearly like a slave who's like, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, we're being very easily seen, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing here? Now, they don't explain, like, we're here to stop the Daleks.
They just say they're new.
They're new, and he's like, I'll help you.
I'm pretty sure in the TV show there was more conversation, right?
Yeah, I think in the TV show they were like, we've got to get into those mines. Whereas in this, I think they...
Oh, because the guy with Ian is looking for his brother.
Yeah, they're looking for Craddock.
Yeah. No, a long-lost brother. One of the guys who goes with Ian says, or maybe it is Craddock, I don't know, but...
I think it is Craddock.
Like, they give a reasonable purpose for why they're there not under the control of the Robo-Man. But in the movie, he's just like, oh, I guess this is the plot now.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
And a Robo-Man comes over, and he's like, pick up these things so it looks like you're doing stuff. And then Tom just knocks out the Robo-Man. Then the guy's like, go hide in that shed. I'll bring you some food later.
After they hide the Robo-Man under a tarp.
Yeah, that will help. They also hide a Dalek under a tarp later. That really works.
That's true. So tarps are OP.
The tarps are good.
The tarps are good.
So they hide in there. And they get some rest.
Yeah.
And the Doctor and David are still on their way there. Now, I was confused.
I'm not surprised because of the movie, but...
I was confused at the start.
Middle and end.
For the rest of it.
Yeah.
So, because there is an awful guy in the TV show.
Yes, he's like a merchant.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll do what you want for the right price. So, it sounds like the guy in the mines paid him to lead the Doctor and David to this location.
Yes.
But I don't think we ever see...
an exchange of anything?
Yeah, well, we see the gold. But we don't see him and say much to the Doctor and David. He just leads them there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he's like... he has the rifle?
Yeah, he tricked them into giving up the rifle because he had a knife to Doctor Who's throat.
Yeah.
And so... on the basis of him having that rifle, he just kind of directs them around and is half like, I can help you, but he's sketchy. It's basically the same character from the show, but get this, worse.
So anyway, somehow, because of that awful person, the Doctor and David, Doctor Who and David, end up in the same shed as Louise and Tom.
Yep.
Big reunion, everyone happy.
Yep.
And Doctor Who's like, oh, well, let's still have Susie. but I have got a plan. So he's like, this will be our base. I know what we're going to do. The Daleks have a bomb. I don't know how he figured that out, but Tom might have told him from his adventures on the Saucer.
Yeah, I don't remember how he figured it out.
But he's like, they'll have a bomb. He's just like, they'll definitely have a bomb. He has a big reflection on, like, they're mining in England.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, if it's not oil, it'd be in the Middle East, and it's not the Middle East, it's England.
It's not minerals because we're in fantastical Britain with no resources of any kind other than Brexit.
Yeah, well, Great Britain historically just goes to other places.
That's true.
And takes those things.
That's true. So what are they complaining about? This is all they've done to other nations forever. Exactly.
So he's like, there must be something. And then so he realizes there's the magnetic north thing going on. And then there's also like a fracture of some kind that would let them drop a bomb in.
To the core. And if that sounds vague, that's how the movie explains
it. Yeah. Drop a bomb and hope for the best.
Yeah. Dropping
and also, I mean hope for the best because the fracture's so close to a magnetic field of some kind.
Yeah,
he basically says if anything goes wrong,
one degree
of error, like then all the Daleks get sucked down there, and like there's nothing guiding it to the right spot. It's just falling.
Yeah, down a huge pipe.
Yeah.
Right next to another pipeline that, hang on, if it went down that pipeline, that would be more than 1 degree off.
Mm.
I wonder how they're going to stop the bomb falling down the wrong pipeline.
Well, luckily...
Go on.
It's closed? Question mark? Which is how they even say it in the movie. They say that... I'm pretty sure that's shut.
Yeah.
So the Doctor's like, well, we'll just get to there, and then the Daleks will get sucked down there because magnetic forces or something.
Basically. Yeah, they don't really explain that very well.
So...
Which is why they have the Robo-Men, because apparently it's the fact that they're metal that means the Daleks can't move around down in the mine shaft because the magnetic fields from the North and South Pole... will pull them down into the earth, but people are fine.
No, I'm a physics teacher. Don't do that.
But in the show, that was not really the issue, was it? I don't remember any of that. Did they just kind of make that up to make it quicker?
No, the bomb was in the TV show.
I remember the bomb, but were they worried about a magnetic field?
No, I think they blew up the Dalek saucer because the bomb exploded earlier.
Yes, that's right. Before it really dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they used the bomb against them.
But just in a different way.
They just kind of complicated it in this.
Yeah, I don't understand it very well. Why they bothered.
But Daleks.
Very cool. Oh my.
Colourful. So Conway, who turns out, because I just glanced down at the wiki, is the slave guy that was already a slave. Conway and Tom go into the mine.
Yep.
And the Doctor Who and the other one.
Tom. Susie.
Louise. Louise. Doctor Who and Louise are still in the hut.
At some point it's only the Doctor, right? Only Doctor.
Yeah, Doctor Who's the only one that's left. Louise must have gone with the other two. My goodness. Louise and Tom are hiding out, blah blah blah. It doesn't actually say what happens to Louise.
No, you're right. Now that I'm thinking about it, they don't explain why she's suddenly not in the hut. Otherwise, she...
would have been exploded.
Yeah. And then she just reappears.
So for clarification, everyone.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead and clarify this.
In the hut, Broccoli, who is the guy that likes gold, comes back to the Doctor and he's like, I've got something outside to show you.
It's very safe.
Yes. And so the Doctor Who goes outside and he's just surrounded by like a dozen Daleks.
Yeah.
And Broccoli's like, I'm sorry. And the Doctor Who's like, no, I know what you're like.
Hmm. This works out. I need them to take me away.
Yeah. He probably needs to get to Susie, who was on their ship.
Along with
Wyler?
Louise.
Why is Louise on the ship?
I don't know, but she is.
I thought Louise was in the hut.
But she can't be because she would have been exploded. Because what happens, Matthew?
Where's the production areas on this?
Oh, no, don't go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it's a long list.
We're going to go through some of it.
Okay, so, blah, blah, blah.
Pretty much.
They all shoot Broccoli, who hides back in the... Who obviously goes, maybe this wasn't such a good idea, and hides inside a wooden hut.
Back where he'd just brought the doctor out of.
And then this is where I realize that the steam that the Daleks shoot is not going to be like human insect spray. Because the hut blows up.
They love explosions in this movie. Oh,
it's such a big explosion.
Yeah,
because he locks the door and then he's gone.
Yeah.
He's not coming back from that. Tom and Conway have accessed the mine. Suddenly Tom sees Craddock in the shadows and calls out to him, but doesn't realize because he's the guy that they left to be robotized.
Yes.
Craddock attacks them and Conway and Craddock fall down the hole while Tom climbs up.
Why didn't he remember? Oh, that's the guy that we left behind, so he's obviously been robomanned.
He wasn't wearing his helmet when they saw him, though.
That's true, which makes sense. And then he
put the helmet on. So what does the helmet do?
Because in the show, if you knocked the helmet off a person, they woke up.
They have I think they die. Tom climbs to the top and he hides behind. None of this matters.
Do you know this? I wonder how many of these episodes end with us just becoming so delirious in our brains from trying to explain what's going on.
The last one was good, though.
The movie? You
know? No, the last episode we did. With the nun, yeah. With the monk.
Yeah.
Ugh. And here we are with... Whatever, man.
Louise?
I thought this was going to be a fun end to the season.
It is fun. It's fun. It's interesting. It's reflective.
It's reflective. It's different.
As in, it makes you reflect on your life and why...
And why the main Doctor Who show is amazing.
And the fact that we are just marching along to the beat of time until we no longer have breath in our bodies. And we spent it watching the movie.
I should point out, I think if this was the 60s and I went to the movies and saw this... I probably would be swept up in the spectacle of
Daleks
because it's big screen. But at home on my TV in Technicolor, it's not very fun.
2022.
The Daleks have Doctor Who and Susie and Wyler in their command control room with the big bomb.
Yeah.
And they're like, we've got you. Your resistance sucks. They're outside fighting, but we got this. And the doctor is like, you know this bomb's a problem, right? Because if there's a little bit of error, end of Daleks. Yeah. So I can help you. And he looks down the hole and he sees Tom. He's like, even one thing that goes wrong, that's going to be a problem. And Tom throws him a wink. He's like, yeah, I hear that. Doctor Who at this point is just trying to, buy time.
Yeah.
So that Tom can go down and, I don't know, block part of the shaft.
With wood.
But I have a feeling that's how it is in the show, too.
I know.
But I think Ian does it better.
Yeah, but they're dropping, how heavy do you reckon that bomb would have been?
Maybe a steel girder could stop it?
But it's just planks of wood.
The Doctor Who does say... Just one little thing has to go wrong.
That's true. So even if it slowed it down slightly, it would put it off course.
Can I tell you what one thing that went wrong with this?
Yeah.
The whole movie.
Yeah. That one thing. The movie. The of. The moment there was no of in the title.
Yeah.
Invasion of Learn Earth.
Learn English, Daleks.
We should have realized this is bad.
So, Doctor Who's like... See, look, he's saying to the Daleks, so if anything goes wrong, this is going to be the end. So I'll fix it. And they're like, how? And he said, I'll show you. And he points up and they all look up. And in that moment, he runs over and grabs the microphone and tells the Robomen to all attack the Daleks.
Right.
Now, not only do the Robomen attack the Daleks, they rip off their helmets and start attacking the Daleks.
Yes.
Which I thought, that's an interesting move, because that wasn't an instruction that was given.
Which means that that's how you stop being a Robo-Man. Yet the guy who attacked them earlier wasn't wearing the helmet first, remember? And then he put it on. Explain.
I can't. I don't want to. The next bit is they kill the Robo-Man, the Daleks, because they're just stronger.
Yeah.
And then they drop the bomb. Ian, whatever his name is, Tom.
Tom.
He's made...
PC Tom.
He's put some wood down.
Yes.
And the bomb goes wrong, and then suddenly the Daleks are all getting sucked towards that magnetic field.
Because him making the wood be in the way forces the bomb to go down the old tunnel.
Yes.
Which was, you know,
very convenient. Slaves all flee while the Daleks are pulled in.
Yep.
The Daleks... get on the Daleks that are on the spaceship try and fly away, but then the spaceship just gets pulled into the ground. Which, yep. And that's not a bad scene. I like that. Seeing the saucer crash into the Earth.
I agree, except it kind of crashed very slowly and softly and then just suddenly exploded.
Well, I think there was quite a strange blend, because that's a real scene.
Yeah.
And then it obviously became a miniature.
Yeah.
And then it sparked up and then went back to the real scene. So that wasn't bad.
No, I agree with that. It just kind of looked funny how slowly it landed before exploding. That was the only thing.
Doctor Who tells Wyler they're not going to come back because we killed all of them. And then he says to Susie, "See this man, David? You're staying here."
I'll be back. And he was never back. Not even in this fictional version of the fictional version.
No. They end up back in TARDIS. And Tom's like, "You can get me home, right?" And he's like, "Yep." Flies him home. But 2 minutes before...
Yeah.
This is key. 2 minutes before the robbery.
Yep.
So then Tom goes out there and stops the robbery. He, like, just beats everyone up. He beats up the driver of the getaway car and takes his place.
Yep.
And then when the robbers get into the car, he just knocks them each out. And then I presumably drives them towards a police station. But we don't see that.
But he's saying to himself, "I'm going to be a private inspector."
Yeah. "I stopped a robbery before it happened."
Which means there's... well, I guess there's evidence they broke into the store.
Yeah, it blew up still.
Yeah.
Now, that is problematic. Because that's a paradox. Because he left... so he arrived 2 minutes before.
Yes.
He left. So the him from 2 minutes before leaving is still there.
Right.
Looking at...
the woman in the ad.
Yeah. But he's driven off by this point, but left his past self standing there. So who presumably doesn't get into the TARDIS. Because there's no reason to.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because he was successful in stopping the robbery, so therefore he didn't need to run to the telephone to call anyone.
Yeah, so in this timeline, there's now two Tom Campbells. Because you can't... because the you from there is still there. If you went back in time now to 2 minutes ago, and you stood there 2 minutes ago, you would see you.
Yes.
From 2 minutes ago. That's Shadow. That's you.
Well, it's the classic paradoxical question of, if you went back in time and killed your grandfather, what would happen? Because you can't be born to kill your grandfather. You gotta
stay there and be your grandfather.
No. Maybe that's the solution. No, the point of that paradox, Matthew,
yeah,
is you have to exist to know to go back in time to kill your grandfather. But if you kill your grandfather, you therefore never exist.
Yeah.
Who kills your grandfather if your grandfather gets killed and you don't get born?
In this sense, who...
Doctor.
...is going to jump into the TARDIS because of a robbery? No one. So there's two Toms.
Well, let me tell you something.
So there's two Toms, all
right? There's no more movies, so there's no Toms.
The movie ends.
Well, you said when we were watching it, they're all waving at him from the TARDIS in a way that's almost like, please don't come back.
Dungeons again.
Bye.
Can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
We forgot the part where Susie and Wyler were captured by the TARDIS because of the old and young woman. Where they go to the place. And in the TV show, they're the ones that, and in the movie as well, they wash the workers' clothes.
Yes.
And in return, the Daleks give them some food.
Yeah.
And in this movie and in the show, they've traded Wyler and Susie for food.
Can I just say something, though?
No.
You know what else they left out from the TV show? And I meant to bring this up, and I'm glad you brought up the fact that the old woman and all of that happened. Because it reminded me. Remember the Daleks had a pet?
Mm-hmm.
The Daleks had a
pet. Yeah, they didn't do that this time.
They didn't bother because it was just the Dalek that rocked up at the door.
During the course of the film, the Daleks are heard using rels as a time measurement, so like seconds.
Yep.
And that became what they use as time in the TV show.
Really?
So this is the first time that that's mentioned, rels. In 20 rels.
So what you're saying is...
this influenced something.
Wow.
The colour of different Daleks also was an influence too, I think.
But that was also in the first movie.
Yes.
They were different colours.
You're right, this movie didn't do anything. A third film based on the chase entitled... based on the chase was to be filmed, but didn't happen.
That would have been interesting to see how they tried to adapt that storyline.
Let's give our score. So... I'm a little torn, because so to summarize, I didn't really enjoy this.
I got that feeling.
I enjoyed watching the first one, because I think there was something quite interesting about someone taking another take of that first of the Daleks story.
Yeah.
And even though that was a condensed as well, like it felt in fast forward, things happened. And it was interesting. Whereas this, had nothing characters. Really happened. And, you know, there's no character progression.
Yeah.
I should probably mention that Peter Cushing, filming was a little bit difficult because Peter Cushing was ill during this as well. So that was another bit of trivia that I forgot to mention.
But you wouldn't have known from watching.
No, he looks good. Yeah. He's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, boy.
John Pertwee.
Which is a?
3.
I was going to say 4.
Tom Baker.
A Tom Baker.
Which sounds great.
This is a Tom Baker-rated Doctor Who movie.
But, no good.
I can't give it any higher just because the saucer looked good. I'm sorry.
One, the saucer didn't faze me that much, which is probably why I gave it a 3.
That extra point.
But nothing, like, it's just, I think seeing it in the movies probably been quite good.
Yeah.
But it's just not that great.
No.
All right, our next episode.
Yes.
So, I found the first story of next season. So, Galaxy 4 is the first story of season 3 of Doctor Who. It's lost. It's one of those ones where they don't have the video. They've just got lots of images, but they have animated it with the audio. So if you like the episode, why not rate and review us? That'd be great.
Yes, please.
You can follow us on a bunch of things. There's a link tree below that has links to all those things.
Yep, all social media, everything.
Everything. Facebook, Twitter.
Facebook, Twitter.
MySpace.
No, this isn't 1960. Instagram. TikTok. All the podcasts. Yes, TikTok. All the podcast places.
Nice.
Ta-da.
So, Galaxy 4 next time, which will be much better.
I hope so.
Well, thanks for
the will to live.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse.